The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, Betty and Randy Robison remember the life of James Robison by looking back at a classic sermon.
They'd try to get the moves down. Most of them nearly broke their backs getting them down. But they'd practice. They even got where they could snarl like me. With all the sincerity in my heart, I would preach it. But I want to confess to you tonight, as I have before, too often the word did not prevail in my life.
Welcome to Life Today, a very special Life Today. I'm Randy Robison, and my mother is with me.
Hey, Randy, good to be with you.
I'm excited about this week of programs.
I am too.
We are looking back and remembering, honoring, but also hearing the word that God delivered to people through my dad, James Robison. And so, Mom, you remember this sermon, The Prevailing Word, from 1984.
I got to hear that. Most of his sermons.
I bet you did many times, I'm sure.
Many, many times. But, you know, God gifted him so much to be able to talk to people and to preach to them. He just put his whole heart into it, you know. Mm-hmm. He wasn't bashful about his illustrations or anything. But he wanted people to know that the Word is the truth of God. And he came across very well with that. So I think you're going to really be blessed with it.
No doubt. And the beautiful thing I think about all of these sermons as we look back is that they are just as true today as when he spoke them. So we hope you enjoy this and come back all week. But today, God's prevailing word.
Do you understand the significance of the word prevailing? The word prevailing. God always watches over his word to perform it. And when the word is received and the word begins to prevail, it becomes the performed word and you can see it performed before your eyes. The word is going to prevail. And it's not going to be attached to any spiritual superstar's flesh. And the work that God is about to accomplish will not be merchandised, and you won't be able to plug it into your marketing programs. It is a ministry, not a marketing program. We don't have programs, we have ministries in Jesus' name. And if it's not the ministry of Jesus, it's rubbish, wood, hay, and stubble, and God will destroy it. We are about to again see the word of the living God prevail. It will not simply be the preached word. It will be the prevailing word. In many communities today, the word of God is preached. In many communities, it is permitted. We permit it. In some communities, the word of God is promoted. It's promoted in many churches. We put it on our signs, Bible-believing church, fundamentalist, conservative, independent, charismatic Bible-believing, New Testament Bible churches. We hold up the Bibles. There was never a greater Bible waver and Bible thumper in America than yours truly right here tonight. One of the grave dangers of getting your eyes on men is we begin to be their clones. There were preachers coming up all over this country looking just like me. They even get my gestures down. They'd go. They'd try to get the moves down. Most of them nearly broke their backs getting them down. But they'd practice. They even got where they could snarl like me. Practice pointing that finger most people said was 6 feet long. With all the sincerity in my heart, I would preach it. But I want to confess to you tonight, as I have before, too often the word did not prevail in my life. It was promoted, it was preached, but I knew. Many people talk about being Bible believers. We must believe the Bible, but it's not the promoted word. Too often the Bible is the perverted word of God. We twist it. And you must understand that if it's not the absolute word of God, it's a perverted word. And if you want to know how to test the word to see whether or not it's perverted, look at it and see if God's performing it. God said, I'm going to watch over it and perform it. I'm going to confirm my word. Do you understand? I confirm my word. I'm not real high on your words, but I always watch over my word to perform it. You say, well, he's not performing the word today. Yes, he is in judgment. He's given us up to vile affections. He's given us up to serve our own appetites. He's given us up to this hatred and hostility and this division. Paul said, when you say I'm of Paul or Apollos, are you not fleshly and walking like mere men? David Wilkerson said it so well today. God sends the adversary against you. The devil doesn't do a thing against the will of God. It is always, always within the will of God for you to be tested. And Satan is the tester. It's as though when Jesus said to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan, he may have been saying, get behind me, Satan. And you have my permission to test those that I teach to see if they learned what I taught them. Get behind me. Not only is he there to test and to try your works, but I want to tell you that he is sent by Almighty God as a destroyer. I can assure you that God will send the hordes of hell against every believer that clenches their fist in the face of holy God and wavers in their profession of faith and forsakes the assembling of themselves together, not in local buildings, but in the presence of God. That's where we're to assemble together. That scripture doesn't mean don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in somebody's building. It means don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the presence of God. You can go to worship centers and church houses for the rest of your life and never meet holy God. He's not in there. He's knocking at the door. He was asked to leave a long time ago. You can put Jesus all over your church. He's not in there. He has a holy people, a righteous people, a loving people. How tragic. How sad. God will send the enemy on you. You have no idea how high your level of accountability is going to be by having been here tonight. Right. I want to declare to you that the legions of hell will storm your domain if you do not bring forth fruit in the Lord's vineyard, and that fruit will look like Jesus. And if you do not do it, God said in Isaiah 5, I'll pull down the hedge. I'll whistle to the nations. They will come to devour you. I will not rain on you. I will not hoe up your unproductive ground. I will not prune you. You will be devoured. You will become trampled ground. And it is so. How many of you, as I was so often, trampled? I declare to you that if it's not this word, it's a perverted word. And I declare to you that if any preacher ever checks to see what men think about what he's preaching a perverted gospel. Amen. You don't check with men to see what God said. You check with God. And God has said, and he didn't stutter. He said it clearly. And he's saying it clearly today. And I want you to know that the same God that wrote this book and moved men along in the Holy Spirit and carried them along, and God wrote these God-breathed words, that same Holy Spirit is waiting to carry men along today to live out this book and to become the living word in our lives. Everything that Jesus wrote here, he writes through your life, for your lives are epistles written in the fleshly tables of men's hearts, and your life is to tell the story of Jesus. It is not ever to be a perverted word, but too often it is. I want you to give your attention to the first verses in the 19th chapter of Acts. Let's start at a very controversial verse, verse 2. The controversy that is hinged around this verse has caused tragic and unnecessary division. Peter Lord preached a message on this at last year's Bible conference that you would do well to listen to. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, "No, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And they asked, "Into what will you baptize?" And they said, "John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Now, you don't need to get nervous about that verse. There's not one thing in that word there to make you nervous. And the very fact that you can read the Word of God and people in the crowd begin to get nervous is a sure sign somebody's been messing around with the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in that Bible that makes me nervous. I mean, I don't even get uneasy. Let me tell you why I don't get uneasy. Because I bow my knee before the living God that wrote that book, and I don't bow my knee before the opinions of men who talk about that book. I know what the Word of God says, and the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And I'm not nervous about it. Somebody says, "Well, you better be careful, buddy, or you'll lose the Baptist." Well, I want to tell you something. If I'm trying to keep any crowd with me, it's a sure sign I just stopped following Jesus. Whenever you look back to see if the crowd's coming, you lost sight of Jesus. When you walk with Jesus, you split the crowd, you part the crowd, but you never lose sight of Jesus, and you just keep on going, and the Word of God does the dividing, and the Word of God does the uniting, and the Word of God does the healing, and the Word of God does the saving, and the Word of God does the delivering, and the Word of God is the life. And my dear friend, if it's not the Word of God, it's death. Follow the Word of God and fear no man. Somebody else will say, "Well, you better be careful, man. You'll lose a charismatic, so you won't get them." I'm not after them. I'm not after any crowd. I'm hot after Jesus. My heart pants after Jesus. If you want to go with the crowd, go. They're a dime a dozen. I'm going with Jesus. I'm not here to play the galleries or cater to the crowd. I'm in a love affair with Jesus Christ, who set me free, who redeemed me from the pit of despair, who set my feet upon solid ground. I know I have a new name written down in glory. I know Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? You ask the question, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? If you've ever believed and received Jesus, you receive the Spirit. For it is impossible for one to come to Christ unless the Spirit draws him. It is impossible for one to be born again unless he is quickened by the Spirit, redeemed through the power of the Holy Spirit, and regenerated by that same power. So if a man has believed in Jesus rather than simply in some man's preaching, then the Holy Spirit has come into their life to indwell them. Now you say, "Well, do you believe that after man is saved, that you have supernatural experiences in the Holy Spirit?" You better believe it. You say, "Why do you believe it?" Because the Bible says so. Somebody says, "That's a Pentecostal doctrine." No, it's not. It's a Bible doctrine. When you get right with God and you know Jesus Christ, you can walk on with God. And I want to tell you, my friend, you say, "Do you believe in the second blessing?" You better believe it. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. And I must have had 100 of them this week. I'm telling you, God's power has come like a mighty wave time after time this week. I've wondered how much more glory my body could take. Boy, he gets tickled at us. He sees us over here. Me and old Dudley, we're going to have a meeting. Come on, Dudley. I want to show you something. I'll tell you, Dudley Hall, bless God, get down here. Man, I want to show you something. Now listen, Dudley, look at that. Ain't that something? Look at that. Ooh, look at that water. Hey, look at this. You look at that water. Look at that water. Bless God, look at that water. Oh, look at that something. We've seen Jesus. That's water. Power, Dudley. Look at that. That's something. Look at that. Man, look at all that water. That's what we're doing. We've seen a little glory this week, and we're down here saying, look at that. Man, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Listen, you know what God's up there saying? He's saying, "Hey, boys, come here. Have you ever seen the Pacific Ocean? I want to show you some, boys. Let me show you some water." It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. It's going to rain. Let her rain. Let her pour. Bless God, I want to see it. Latter rains. The latter rains. The former rains. Let her flood. I want to tell you something. Well, I want you to know when this flood comes, I mean when this mighty outpouring of God comes, you're not going to see me standing back looking at this water saying, God, give me a wading pool. I'm going to kind of wade out there, God. Oh, my God. Look at my ankles. I'm ankle deep in this stuff, God. Oh, my. It's up to my knees. My. I don't even want to get in it up to my neck. I want water to swim in. Bless God, a flood of the righteousness and the love and the power of our God.
One of a kind.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he wasn't bashful about really telling you about God's truth. You know, it was just, it came overflowed out of him. And that's what he was talking about, overflowing with the Spirit of God in his truth and in his word. The word has to come alive. That's what he was talking about in our hearts and our spirit, and let us move through that word, God's leading. And so I get refreshed all over again every time I hear it.
Yeah, I do. And it's God's truth. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. The interesting thing, and I know you know this, is I just talked to someone this morning. Lives were changed at events just like that one.
Yes.
That one in particular. And it stuck. In other words, people got it. They dove in, and it transformed them. And, you know, many of you are watching right now. You remember those sermons in those days. The interesting thing about some of the older sermons that we see is that the people whose lives were touched, they stayed with us as a ministry. You guys have supported
absolutely.
So many of them. And those of you who are new to life today, I hope looking back will inspire you to say, what was this thing? What is this thing? Because God will do it in your life today as well. And many of those people, they enable us to do the mission work that we do around the world.
Yeah, and he encouraged people to really get into God's word and to let God live his word through your life. And I think people saw that. He was a true blue follower of God's word. It was just so impacted his life. I mean, we could leave those services of all the crowds, but yet if he saw somebody alone that looked discouraged or something, he'd stop on the way and tell them about Jesus. It was just overflowing in his heart and his spirit. And I think that's what you saw in him if you were around at that time. I think it blessed you, the reason you're still with us today.
Yeah, and you still see it today. But you know what's interesting? What he's talking about wasn't just something he preached, it was something that changed your life as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I saw it come alive in him, and I was just always the good little girl that went to church, you know, and yet I saw something real in him, and I thought, I want that. And I had the privilege of living with him and watching God work, and it caught hold of me. And that's what he's talking about. Let God catch hold of your heart and walk with him, and let him show you things you never would have imagined.
And for God's word to prevail in our lives, it means that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers as well. And that, again, for decades now, we at Life Outreach International have said we are going to be doers of God's word. And we're about to do that. So as you've heard God's word delivered through this older sermon, I want you to step into something new that we are doing right now to share God's love with people around the world. Watch this.
They're going to be devoted to Jesus.
For James Robinson, standing before massive crowds, preaching to literally millions of people, never overshadowed his desire to comfort the least of these. While leading global initiatives that altered the lives of millions, James, along with his wife Betty, traveled the mission fields of the world to find those who had been forgotten and overlooked.
You know, Betty, all these people have wondered why we're here, how are you? And we have told them through translators that we are here because we love them and because we want to give them a better life. We came in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we didn't just come to talk about God's love. We came to share it and demonstrate it.
James firmly believed that hand-delivering a brand new pair of shoes to a child was just as important as any mission he had ever undertaken.
We found out something else because of contaminated water. And even contaminations and
and problems in the soil, children get little cuts in their feet and they pick up hookworms. And as I understand it, that ultimately gets into their intestines and is a horrible sickness. But it's a disease that not only brings incredible pain and discomfort, but in so many instances, death.
To he and Betty, that simple gift of a pair of shoes was a powerful message that whispered directly to a child's heart. You are seen, you are loved, and someone cares for you.
You know, I'm standing here with these children, and they're just a small example of children all over the world that they deserve to be cared for. And we have an opportunity to do that right now, to put some shoes on their feet, to give them a chance in life. And I ask you to help us do that. It's just a simple request, but a very urgent and important one. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you, and thank you.
What an outreach. And you know, Mom, you obviously you were there.
I was.
At the beginning. Mm-hmm. You've seen the impact that a simple pair of shoes has on children's lives.
You know, for so many years, we go over there, and it's more than just putting a pair of shoes on their feet. It's maybe saving their lives,
right.
You know, because they can get so many things. And sometimes we don't tend to go there because you don't want people to get, you don't want them to miss what we're trying to say. But, I mean, it can cause all kind of deficiencies in their life, dangerous deficiencies.
Yeah, and the hookworm is
it
one
is,
real
the hookworm,
threat.
Yeah.
And it causes all sorts, it makes them ultimately very vulnerable to many other diseases because it weakens their immunity system. So, yeah, we're talking about a pair of shoes, but we're also talking potentially about the health of a child, which is why it makes this both fun and mm-hmm. critical, important yeah. that we do this. And you know, Mom, the smiles part of it, you know, we have the surgeries where we correct the cleft palate and the cleft lip, but the smiles on the children's faces when just they, warms
when,
your heart.
When you just slip a pair of shoes
yeah.
on their feet.
You get the smile.
They just grin, the biggest grin, and some of them with the smile problems, with the deficiency
right.
and stuff, it's hard for them to smile, Randy.
Yeah.
We want to fix that.
Yeah, we can, and we can. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. We can, we know, because as you see the older footage, we've been doing this for many years, and it is a blessing every single year. To go and give these children something that they desperately need and that they enjoy. And so we're asking you to be a part of it today. I know it's a little bit early, but it's time to get ready for Christmas because it takes a while to get everything in order. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. The bottom line on the shoes is that the average cost of getting the shoes and delivering them to the various places is about $3.60 for a pair of shoes. Which means you could give 10 children a pair of brand new, durable, lasting, health providing, in a sense, shoes for $36. If you can make a gift of $180, it will go so far. 50 children will get a pair of shoes. Some of you are able to give 275 pairs of shoes to 275 children for a gift of $1,000. That $1,000 alternately would provide two corrective surgeries. So let's share God's love in the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christ, this year, and let's do it now. Will you go online or go to the phone? Join us in this beautiful outreach, whatever level God puts on your heart. Let's give the children this Christmas shoes and smiles.
Amen.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from things we often take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays. and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile for a lifetime. As a thank you for your gift, please request the first time ever duo color crystal shoe ornament with beautiful green and red accents. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake box set featuring five of life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or corrective smile surgeries for two children. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
All right. Merry Christmas. More shoes and smiles here in a village made possible by you, those of you who watch and respond. We want to do this again this Christmas for other children in need, not just for their well-being, but for their health. It actually protects them from some things that can make them sick. Your gift of $36 will actually provide shoes this Christmas for 10 children. And these shoes last a long time. Maybe you can give shoes to 20 children for $72. Some of you, 40 children, 144. And don't forget, the cleft palate surgery is so important. Literally changing, oftentimes saving the lives of little ones. Whatever you can do, I pray that in the spirit of Christmas, in the name of Christ who was born this season, you would just reach out with the love of God and be a part of Christmas Shoes and Smiles. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. I hope you will go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. We can give Shoes and Smiles. And we're not finished with the prevailing word. This is just part one. Mom, there's more.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
And he really gets warmed up then.
He does. Yeah, you think you saw it today. Wait till you see part two. Come back. And by the way, you can always catch those if you go to lifetoday.org or stream.org. All those great classic sermons. Come back tomorrow. We'll see you here on Life Today.
If any power on this earth can tear up your church, it's not a church built on the rock, because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.